Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
To get by Benning. Darnell Nurse left it in the corner, gets up center. Perry scoops! Corey Perry!
Well, you're able to shake away from Solani. It's given away to Solani around the front. Score! Teemu Selanne with the steal.
Three of the fans want one. Score! Off the floor!
All right, we're back. Another episode of the Forever Mighty podcast. I haven't said that in a while. It's been
typical 2023.
Yeah, the first episode of 2023, and we're eight days in. But we took a nice hefty break for the holiday season. I think our last episode was the 13th or the 17th of December, and we took the Christmas break off. Apparently the Ducks did. I was about to say like the Ducks did, but they actually went on a roll over the Christmas
can't
break.
Say that right now.
And a roll for the Ducks is winning two in a row and going 5-5-1 in their last 11. It's not exactly a roll, but when you're as bad as the Ducks have been this year, you can count it as a roll. The 2-game winning streak is still a winning streak. So,
yeah, 100%. It's like not going really the downhill roll. It's just like a slight bend down. You're just gonna get there, and then we're gonna slow up probably at some point.
Yeah, only the Ducks could go 500 over 11 games. And still get outscored 39-22 and have their goals per game dip lower than it was last time we checked in. Their goals against average dip a little, it was a little bit better. It's still allowing 4 goals per game. Power play was worse, but the penalty kill was better. Penalty kill jumped, I think, like 4%. Now it's 29th ranked in the league. That's the first time I've seen all 4 of those stats not ranked either last or second last. So now we're out of the bottom for
third last. I like it.
We're getting somewhere with it. So
that's a 2 in front of that 9, isn't it? Wow.
I know. It's
I'm used to threes.
I'm
only
used to seeing 31st or 32nd, and now we're ranked 30th because the Blue Jackets have fallen a little bit over the last little stretch here, and now they are, I think they have like the same record as us, but we've played 2 more games and lost 2 more in overtime, so that could end fairly quickly. But I think they lost.
It's kind of surprising. You think with Goodrow, they probably would have done something. I mean, with Laine there,
Laine healthy, Goodrow. They brought in Kent Johnson to play this year, but no, it's they don't have anything else. And I think Werenski went down. Even like that's not going to be a huge boost, but he went.
They
down.
Do have a lot of interest.
Yeah, that's so. I mean, everybody knew Chicago was going to be as bad as they have been. Arizona's there, San Jose, Montreal. So kind of all the teams everybody expected to be bad. There's really been no surprises. Like Philadelphia last year, I don't think anybody expected them to be as bad as they were. All the teams right now in the bottom 10, I think the only surprise is the team that is like 10th of the 10th worst team in the league, and that's Florida right now.
Yeah, that's a little surprising. But they may kick it in later, kick it in another gear, and they kind of had a little bit of that turnover.
I think they've lost, like Barkov was down for a bit.
Losing
Huberdeau, bringing in Kachuk, changing that. I think Ekblad was out for a bit too. So it's
that's all-star Kachuk to you, sir.
Oh, was he their selection?
Yeah, he's your selection to the All-Star. Yeah.
He's been, I know he's been good this
year. Not your boy Barkov. Sorry, you're sad. You're in mourning.
I know, I'm in mourning. But I do like Tkachuk, too. There was a moment where we all thought it was possible he could come to Anaheim, and obviously that...
wouldn't that be nice?
But, we have our own young star who's developed over the last 10 games. I'll say 11, but we're not going to count that 7-0 loss to Toronto, which was the game right after we released our last episode. So we won't count that one. But over his last 10 games, Mason McTavish leads all Ducks forwards and players in general by a mile. He's got 12 points, 5 goals, 7 assists. Next highest is Zegras and Henrik with 7 points. I don't remember when he was elevated to the top line. I don't think it was at the beginning of that 10-game stretch, maybe over the last 5 games or so.
I think it's something like that. Like, it was somewhat recently that Aikens kind of promoted him and kind of did that, because I almost want to say it was maybe after the Philly game where we lost 4-1. It just looked abysmal. I think at that point he's like, all right, let's shake it up, get Zegras on a different line. Because, I mean, you think Zegras and Terry, I think they only have, like, one goal, like, in their last...
They started so hot, and then it's not like it's fallen off. It just, in the way they started, it hasn't been as consistent. So.
Half
of those points come in the last 2 games, because he had 6 points in the last 2 games and 4 points against the Sharks, and that shows from getting elevated to that top line. But it kind of feels like it. I would like to give Dallas Aikens credit and say it wasn't just random, and it's progression over the season, like we saw with Zegras when they were able to send him down to San Diego and get time at center and bring back up. Like, they've just slowly been building to this. And now we're, like, at that half-season mark, so maybe this was the point they felt it was possible. I don't know if I want to give him that much credit to say that it wasn't just a reactionary thing and it just worked out. But we've been saying all year, like, this guy needs to get – he's played well in a reduced bottom six role. He needs to get some top 6 minutes at center. And no surprise the way he's played this year that he ends up playing so well at that number one center role over the last little bit. Like, he really did – it's not like he looked better over the last few games compared to what he's looked like all season. I just feel like the opportunities are more playing in that top 6, and he's obviously getting more minutes too.
I would say that too. Just I was talking about, like, when he got the 4 points against San Jose, and he wasn't, like, super flashy, so it wasn't like something where I'm going like, wow, look at, he's just zipping all over the place. This guy's really just tearing it up now. And it's just like he just kind of kept doing his game, but he was doing it a little bit better. Granted, it's against San Jose, but he's demonstrated that over the last, 10 games and whatnot, of getting the on the score sheet, but not doing much different. And so that's kind of fun to watch. And then you just see, probably as it moves along in his career, it's just like every year just makes another step, and he's just got a little bit more speed, a little more size, a little bit more instinct, a little more in the right spot at the right time. Which is kind of a contrast to what you see with Zegras. Like, when he's zipping around and he's doing all his things, McTavish is just, low-key doing all the right things through the entire game.
Yeah, like, when Zegras gets the puck on his stick, and most of the plays that he makes that result in him getting points are usually something at least a little bit flashy or exciting to watch. And McTavish, and not in the play style, he reminds me about the way kind of Getzlaff put up points, right? Where it's just like in a variety of different ways, and every now and then he'll show you like the shot McTavish had against the Sharks, like a really impressive, powerful shot, or he'll pull off a move or make a really good pass. We've seen that occasionally from McTavish. He has that in his skill set, but he's just kind of a guy who's just in the right places at the right time. You look at that other goal he had against the Sharks, like, it comes off the boards. He's just right in front of the net, and he's able to put it. Like, he just always seems to find himself in the right position, but he's got that ability to pull off the fancy play every now and then. He's just kind of quickly found his fit, right? He's on the power plays, the trigger man now, and he had to work for that over the season. It was Zegras' spot at the beginning of the year, and he ended up playing there for a few games, and it worked out, and now that's his spot. And now he's been given the opportunity to play 1C, and he's taken advantage of that on the first try. And now that's seemingly for the rest of the season, unless things go bad, that's his spot. So he's been an opportunist for sure this year. And when he's been given those elevated opportunities, he's took it and run with it. And even when he has been in the bottom six or on second power play unit, he's still played well. So there's really not been a stretch of games where you've looked at him and said, oh, he's not been good this year, he's not ready for it. Like, he's been good all season, and now he's finally getting awarded those opportunities, because really nobody else has been playing well enough to take him either.
Yeah, exactly. It's like at this point you would say, there's no one to really kind of solidify that 1C spot. And with, you know, Ludstrom out and, you also Derek Grant's not playing, there's a limited number of centers. So at this point, jump in, show everyone what you can do, and just kind of take advantage of that opportunity, because it's obviously something that he was going to get to at some point, and he's getting a little bit better opportunity earlier than anyone would have thought.
Yeah, and I think a part of it too is the fact that Zegras was shifted to the wing. He was, when he was playing with Henrique at center, yeah, he was splitting faceoffs with Henrique and, you know, winning a few every game, but it was struggling there, and I think they made the switch again to get a bit more continuity down the middle. And McTavish takes every draw when he's out there, right? So now Zegras was essentially playing the winger while also playing center and just playing center during the pace of play. But I liked what I've seen from Zegras on the wing, a little bit less responsibility in his own end. Not that he's been a detriment there, but it gives an opportunity to a guy that looks like he can be a center, you know, the prototypical type NHL center at this level, where he stepped in and taken that role. And I mean, Zegras could shift back to center at some point here, but I'd like to see him at wing for the next couple of games and just see how it goes.
I was just going to ask you, Emil, do you really hate the fact that he's no longer center? I don't feel like he got not necessarily shoehorned in there, but they had an idea that that's where they wanted to put him, and it didn't really ever seem to fit. And when he has to worry about, as you do as center, about the face-offs, about this side of things, about defensive side of things, and quite honestly, that guy's just, you know, 90% of his game is just offense. You know, he can learn some of those things, and hopefully he works on some of them, but I don't personally care if he tries really, really hard on defense if he's giving me 110% on offense. I'm okay with that. Put somebody else in there who's going to maybe hopefully pick up that slack that he might be going off. But, I mean, are you happier that he's more on the wing, or is it something where, you know, he's more dangerous if he stays in center?
I think he's going to be dangerous no matter where he is on the ice. It's kind of indifferent about it. Like, I don't think him playing at center awarded him any more opportunities than playing on the wing. And, like, the Ducks have a track record of guys who played center at the junior, whatever level they came from, of trying to play them at center if they had started or were drafted to centers and seeing what worked out. Yeah. Sam Steele, Raquel, you know, William Carlson, they all started as centers. And whether, you know, Raquel's case did not turn out to be a center, Sam Steele's case, he's playing center now, but was put at the wing a lot of times in Anaheim as well. So I'm not surprised they played him at center. They didn't have a lot of options last year. And he looked good when he did play at center. But I think this year, with McTavish being in the lineup, with Henrique, with Strome, like, you've got some other options, and it affords you that opportunity to play in the wing. And I think there's a lot of people out there who, from the beginning with Zegras, believed he'd be better as a winger. So I think his skill set suits it. I don't think he's going to be hurt by it. And I think the Ducks have enough other options to at least try it and see how it goes. But, I mean, at any point, we could see it go McTavish and Zegras down the middle, and Henrique and Strome shift to the wing, or Strome gets put down to the third line, and they run with those three down the middle. So they at least have options to see how it works.
Yeah, I'd rather have Zegras on the wing, less responsibility through the middle. And I always think if you're kind of on the wing, you're a little bit lost sometimes. If you're attacking defense, I mean, obviously they're going to pick up where everyone is, but their main focus is probably going to be more to the center of the ice, whoever has it. And so I think sometimes he can slip in and out of there a little bit easier, and he's so sneaky in that way that I think it would be more advantageous over a career where he could play wing rather than always being the guy in the center, moving through, having the puck all the time, or at least fixated in the middle where everyone can see him a little bit more.
And they could still have him do that as a winger as well. Like, there is an advantage to having Trevor Zegras be the first guy to pick up the puck at your blue line and skate it up into the opposition zone, because he's really good at doing that and gaining entry into the opposition zone. So you can still have him do that as the winger. He could be the first forward back.
He's going to roam no matter what. Like, he's just going to go, it doesn't matter what position you put him in, he's just going to go, well, this is open, so I'm going to go this way, and that sort of deal. So
yeah, there's not too many other players on this team I'd want to pick up the puck at their own blue line and try and gain entry into the opposition zone. I'd really say it's Zegras number one, and probably Troy Terry number two. And if you know, Zegras doesn't have to be a center. There's no written rule that says he, you know, you have to be the center to be the first guy to pick it up.
It felt like they were trying to make it that way, though, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
they were trying to force him into that role a little bit and to make it be this, you know, the way their, I guess, their structure works. And with a lot of teams, is the center is the first one back, at least defensively, and usually is the guy to get the, if the defenseman's not carrying up a foul or Klingberg isn't carrying the puck up, the center is usually the first one to get it. But we've seen even the last couple of games with Zegras on the wing that a lot of times he still is the kind of the first guy to grab the puck, the first guy back to carry it up the ice, which, again, with the skill set he has, makes a lot of sense. And with the center he's been playing with too, he has the ability to do that, right? There's nobody else really on that line that is as skilled as him as gaining entry into the opposition zone. So I'm fine with it, yeah, at least for the next couple of games to see how it works, and especially with the way McTavish is playing right now.
Why not spread the wealth, get on different lines?
Well, I'm glad you're on this show for this one, but another young player to talk about. Well, I'm glad you're on any show, but anytime we get to talk about goalies, it's always better when we have you on the show for that, because we miss all of Lucas Dostal's starts, because his first, actually, I think we, Ottawa might have been the first start, so me and Steven did the post-game show for that one. That was our last show, so I think that was his first start of the year, and then he rattled off six starts after that. Mm-hmm. Played great. He looked excellent, and he really got forced into that role because Gibson and Stolarz were both hurt at that point. It's officially listed as six starts because I think he came in relief, or he got pulled in the game against Toronto. I think it was a relief effort. That might have been the game where Gibson got hurt, I think, or where Stolarz got hurt.
Huh. I'm trying to remember because I know, because Gibby got hurt.
I think he got hurt against Toronto. Stolarz
has been out for a while.
Yeah, I think Gibby got hurt against Toronto after letting in two. Stolarz came in and let in five.
Yeah.
So that hurt his numbers. His official numbers, he went 2-3-1, .909 save percentage, and a 3.53 goals against average. But his numbers really get tanked from that five goals on 15 shots against Toronto. Other than that, I think five of the seven games he had above .920 save percentage, a couple 40-plus save performances. He looked excellent. And then not only that, he goes down to the AHL and rattles off back-to-back shutouts. So
yeah, when he could be depressed about, hey, I'm no longer in the top club, come down, I'm just going to get a couple shutouts. You know, and it's not like the Gulls are a great team, and he went back and all of a sudden was just part of this great winning team. They've struggled all year because most of their great top-end prospects are up with the Ducks while they're trying to retool and get this thing going. So the fact that he just drops down and he does even better than an amazing little two-week performance that he had up in the big leagues is quite a – it's what we've always been hearing, too, is just to the mindset of what he does. It doesn't bother him. He just – whatever game he's in, he wants to play and he wants to win, and that's an amazing attitude to have, especially when you can back it up with talent and skill.
Yeah, unfortunately, as I'm looking now, he did have a not so great game. We got pulled last night against Milwaukee.
That's all right, we'll get it.
It happens every now and then. But like, and they weren't even casual shutouts too. 39 saves and 40 saves that he'd rattled off in those two wins.
We got him nice and prepped for those high shot counts when he played for the big clubs.
And if you want to see the options that the goals are really limited right now, this is a back-to-back. He rattled off a 40-save shutout on today's Sunday. So on Friday, he rattled off a 40-save shutout against Milwaukee and then played against them again last night, and that's when he got pulled. So that's tough. A full 60 minutes where you faced 40 shots, and they said, you know what, we don't have any other options. You're going to go again tonight against the same team. So that's a tough spot. And like you said, the goals aren't a good team. But this guy just thrives. Like, he faced an average of 36 shots against in those seven games for the Ducks. Like, he was getting shelled, which is no surprise. Gibson's been, and Stolarz have been dealing with that all year, but you're throwing a guy into the fire, and he did pretty much everything he could to show that he was ready to play at the NHL level, barring, again, the Leafs game. But the Leafs are one of the best offensive teams in the league, and it happens to everybody, so.
Yeah, and hell, he got a win against Connor McJesus and Edmonton, so, I mean, if you can shut them down, I mean, obviously, I think McDavid scored a goal. But, I mean, if you can beat that team and that high-powered offense with the worst defense and worst goals against in the league, that's saying something. And on a personal note, my dad even knew who he was. And he's a Kings fan and also knows nothing about the internet or anything like that. So he's just, like, really old school. And he's like, well, you guys had that really good goalie. He played really well. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Dad.
The news is spreading.
He's the future. So, like, you don't want to give Duck players compliments unless he really has to. But he did on that one. And I said, yeah, well, watch, hang around. That's the future. This guy's going to come in and do it. Obviously, at what point he kind of takes the reins is probably a few years away. I definitely think it's within their window. I think he starts his window the same time the Ducks really do. So it's kind of set there. Mm-hmm. That only obstacle that's kind of there right now is just Gibby and his contract. And when is it possible to move him? Or if he's willing to move, I think at some point he will. I think the contract's a little bit hard because I think he's still got like 4 years on it.
Yeah.
And that's hard to put him on a team that would want to take on that contract and doesn't already have a really good starting goalie. So he's kind of stuck there. Stolarz is probably a piece you could move, but then that means you probably keep Gibby for 2 more years and Dostal has to be a backup, which means he's not playing a whole lot of minutes. So it gets kind of, unless they do a 50-50, yeah, you know, with Gibby and Dostal, that could be a possibility too.
It's not the worst situation, I think, to if he takes over the backup job next year. Similar transition to what we saw when Freddie backed up Hiller and took over the starting job, and then Gibby backed up Freddie and took over the starting job. So it's
that's how you do it.
Yeah,
and I would honestly love to keep Stolarz too if we could. It's just you can see Dostal is just that next level and is going to continue on that way. And as amazing as Stolarz is, I would imagine with this being a contract year again, we probably more likely would trade him. If we were going to, I mean, not Gibby, if we trade a goalie at all, not to say we even have to, you know, next year.
So we have two options, I guess, then, right? Is you either trade Stolarz now or let his contract run out and then Dostal becomes the starter next year. I think if their plan is to bring Dostal up, then you likely move Stolarz at the deadline. So let's just say you have to move a goalie at the deadline. One of them comes back next year. So if you move Gibson, you sign Stolarz, you play him with Dostal, and they do a split, or you trade Stolarz as the pending UFA and you run Gibby as the 60% starter and Dostal plays, you know, the back-to-backs and a few odd games here or there. What would be your ideal situation?
Crap. Well, there's two different things. There's what I know all the goalies can do and where I feel we have the best opportunity. I also I'm conflicted because I think, well, what's good for the Ducks and what they're going to be doing in the next couple of years? Stolarz, even though I know he's a great goalie and he will flourish on whatever team he goes to next, he's just that good of a goalie. He absolutely can be a number one on most teams. I think that most of the NHL doesn't quite know in such a small sample size that he doesn't actually have a whole lot of value to trade. But I think give his contract for, I think it's like $5 or $6 million over the next 4 years. That's just, it's going to be so hard without taking and holding on to a few of those millions for the next few years. So I think the closer that contract gets to ending, the easier it's going to be able to move Gibby and make Dostal that number one. So in my opinion, you only have Stolarz for, you know, under $1 million for the rest of this year. You trade him, get what you can for it, whether it's a draft pick or, you know, a prospect. I don't know exactly what they're going to get for him, but they should be able to get something of value. Dostal comes in, sees the end of the season, probably sees a little bit more starts than he would in a season that was starting good or is, you know, ending with a playoff race. And, you know, you would always go with Gibby. So that gives him probably more starts. Gibby comes in, he holds the reins for another year. Dostal's the clear backup. You see where next year takes you and then where the team is at the end of that is possibly a trade in the off season where Gibby goes, you know, not this season, but next season after we see how everything is going. Because then he's, at that point, he's only got 2 more years on a contract. Might make sense to Mez, you know, a little bit better numbers wise, but there's still value there for Gibby. It's just hard with that contract. It's hard to justify for other teams.
Yeah. I know Eric Stevens, I think he put an article recently or was on another podcast or something, but he mentioned that he either mentioned that it's more likely the Ducks could move him or kind of speculated on if the Ducks could move John Gibson. I'll have to go double check that, but brought it up. It comes up every year over the last couple of years near the trade deadline now that the Ducks have been bad and whether he might be out the door. I don't think it's possible. Again, the logical and the most likely option seems to be Stolarz on an expiring contract to move out the door. And personally, for Dostal's development, I think that's probably the better route. Like, unless you're getting what you want for John Gibson, there's no point in moving him right now. And if you move Stolarz at the deadline, and from what most teams do and what the Ducks have done over the last couple of years is for that like final 15 or 20 game stretch, they just split starts anyway. Mm-hmm. So you could bring him in, he can play more games down the stretch, give Gibson a little bit of a rest. Like you said, the games don't really matter at that point. And then you bring him in next year as the bona fide backup behind John Gibson. And, you know, Gibson still gets, you know, 60-70% of the starts. You know, maybe Dossal starts the year playing just the back-to-backs. And then as the season goes on, if Gibson struggles, then maybe at that point, you know, Dossal has the opportunity to take over the starting job. I think that's the best path for him to, you know, kind of have to win that job from John Gibson. And like we mentioned earlier, that has been the path that we've seen from a lot of young Ducks goaltenders in the past, is that they've come in as the backup and slowly taken over that job and allowed the Ducks to move the opposing netminder. And like you had mentioned a couple times too, that, you know, John Gibson's contract gets easier to move every year that gets chipped off that deal.
Yeah, and it's good for the development, because when you are mostly AHL or you're not the NHL style of hockey, it's good to come in as a backup and A, not have all the burden on you, but B, just to see how a full season goes, what you have to go through, what your players do, get more familiar with the situation, get a little bit more comfortable. And then, you know, depending on the goalie, it clicks and you progress very quickly and you challenge for that spot, or you don't, you just continue to do the backup things and then kind of get a little bit better as you go along. But next year, I would honestly think it's going to be a Gibby and Dostal combination. You know, like I said, they'll probably give you a whole bunch of playing. So maybe that's more like 70%, because Gibby wants to play. He's still technically in his prime. And I'm sure if they were planning on moving him, they probably want to showcase him a little bit more and see what he can do. But at the same time, if the Ducks aren't really good, then I don't even know if you want to do that. So
we might have Connor Bedard next year. So you don't know. That's mm-hmm. that's the dream. Did you watch
that? Is the dream.
Did you watch the World Juniors at all?
No, I don't care about that stuff.
No.
All I care is Zegras is in
it. No Zegras for Team USA.
See, the thing was, I had to turn it off once you guys cheated with that USA gold. I got pulled away.
Two of them got pulled away.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I turned it off after the first one, so I didn't even know about the second one.
Yeah, I was watching the, I guess it would have been NHL Network feed or whatever the US feed was for that one. And yeah, they were not. I don't know who the broadcasters were, but they were not happy about that. They were borderline, but they're borderline at NHL level, right? Like apparently the IIHF rules are a little bit stricter than
that. They're different. Like if you're in the crease and you make contact or something like that, it's like you can't do any of that at any point if you're in the crease or something like that. So it was a weird one. And quite honestly, Canada was going to win. You have Bedard. I mean, what did the guy do? What, 24 points or something? It's
24 points. Yeah, he beat the all-time World Juniors points record. And if he wasn't such a phenom, he would be eligible to go again next year, too.
Yeah, but...
but he beat Lindros' record. Lindros had 31 points for Canada at the World Juniors in like 24 games. Bedard beat that. He beat the single tournament record for points. He beat Canada's all-time record for goals that Eberle had. Like he smashed every record.
Man. Sucks. He'll never be in the Olympics.
Yeah. Exactly. He's just got to stay an amateur, and then he'll be able to go.
There you go. Forever.
Hopefully. I mean, that's the goal. We've talked about him on every podcast. He had his return to the WHL tonight. He had 4 goals and 6 points and 13 shots on goal.
I heard 2 of those goals were shorthanded.
Probably. They're literally playing him in every opportunity they have. I'm going to tell you how many games he's played this year. I want you to see if you can guess the astronomical amount of points he has. Okay. 36 games he's played this year. How many points do you think he has?
There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy, because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post, so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I got to think somewhere in there he's about a 3 point a game person. So I'll go 95.
Yeah, it's almost right on 93.
Ah, it was close.
93 points and 40 goals in 36 games.
He should have done better and got to 95. Yeah, right.
Yeah. He could get to 100 next game.
It seems like that. It's like if he has a bad game where he only has 2 points, the next game's five.
Yeah.
So it's just like, all right, I'll make it up on the next two games or whatever.
Yeah, it's unbelievable territory. There hasn't been this much hype around a draft since McDavid, and you think back to Crosby and whatever. So Columbus, Chicago, Anaheim.
And he was a roller hockey player too.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that little feature at the World Juniors. Mm-hmm. So, and apparently he smashed everything in his parents' house while they just let him play hockey.
Yeah, I saw that too. The same base twice.
Yeah. Yeah, it helps when his parents seemed a little well off anyway, so you can break a couple vases. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, listen, that's the dream for the Ducks at the end of this season is to come out with Connor Bedard. I think that's the dream for any of those teams within shouting distance of getting him at this point.
And I just wish more, I mean, casual Ducks fans, ones that, you know, don't get in the weeds of it like we do. I just wish you could kind of go like, all right, don't get mad about this season. If there's a season to suck, it is this season. This is our season to be bad. Don't cheer. Don't get mad. So it's hard to watch the games, I'll be honest. So
yeah.
I can understand being frustrated. But at the same time, you just always go, all right, there's a master plan behind this. There's a plan to get that guy. Just got to get that guy or one of two other people behind him. I mean, quite honestly, I mean, Bedard's the ultimate prize, but second place is nothing to start at.
Yeah, so, even like the top three or four this year are very good options, as they are almost every year. But it's just with Bedard headlining it this year, it's hard to even look at the rest of the guys. And Bedard,
I feel like you lose if you don't get him.
Yeah, and going into the World Juniors, like Bedard and Fantilli were right there because Fantilli was having a great year with Michigan, like almost a historic Paul Kariya type NCAA season with the points he was putting up. And then they go into World Juniors, and Fantilli puts up 6 points, which isn't bad, and then Bedard puts up 24 points, and you're like, okay, there's a bit of a gap here for the talent level. But, yeah, I think the tough thing, too, is, like, at least with a team like Chicago, if you're a Blackhawks fan, you knew the plan going into this year. Like, they sold everybody before the season. There was talks about Taves and Kane going. Like, you knew the plan was to be bad to get this kid. And if you're a Ducks fan who's just, I hate to use the word casual, but if you're not, focusing on the draft, which is fine or anything like this, you'd see, okay, we brought in Strome, we brought in Vetrano, we brought in Klingberg. Like, we made additions to offset the loss of some of these guys. We have Zegras and Theriot coming off great years. McTavish is going to join the team. There's some excitement. People are talking about playoffs. So then to watch it go in this year and fall apart, which, again, a lot of us expected it would, I think that's where the disappointment comes. But yeah, you have to kind of hint at them. There is a light at the end of the tunnel because
100%. Yeah, and it's same thing as like, I don't think a casual fan because it's like demeaning in some way. Like, they're not smart to know what's going on. But it's the people who watch the team and love the team, but they don't know what the farm system is or the guys we have waiting in the wings. When I hear people go like, oh, we're just a mess. We're not going to have any defense. This is just, we're never going to be good until we have defense. I'm like, just wait. We got two guys. We got two really good guys that'll be here any day now. You just wait and add in Drysdale with that. And it's going to look really good. We just got to suck this time. We just got to be really bad this time.
It's sad and not in a bad way. Just like forget it. You kind of forget about Drysdale a bit the way the season has gone because he's been hurt and he's going to be out for the rest of the year. But yeah, like I've got a note in here. We're going to talk about one of the guys you were mentioning, the two young defensemen the Ducks have on the way. One of them is Pavel Mintikov, who we'll get to in a second, and then Owen Zellweger is the other. Won a gold for Canada at the World Juniors. Looked excellent throughout the whole tournament. He just got traded today in the WHL. The return is ridiculous.
I heard there's a bunch of like draft picks probably involved.
Yeah, he got traded from Everett to Kamloops for 4 first round picks, a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and 4 players. So,
what?
Yeah.
I don't even understand how minors do those trades. Like,
yeah, it's just the top end players, because they're so much better than anybody else, they just, when you can win it, you mortgage the farm. And Kamloops is hosting the Memorial Cup this year, so even if they don't make the playoffs, they get a trip to the Memorial Cup no matter what. So those teams always, when they can host it, well, they...
It's kind of crappy.
Yeah, they always...
It's kind of crappy rule. I don't like that.
No, I don't think anybody really likes it because it allows them to move, you know, the picks for all that and kind of attract some of these players to their teams because they get a free trip to
at least a chance, and then that looks good going into a draft.
Okay, so they'll still compete in the playoffs, and they could win the playoffs. The funny thing is they could win the playoffs, and then the team they beat would then still go to the Memorial Cup is like, oh, they host it, so you get to go as well. Yeah, so an unbelievable package. But it's a guy last year who was that league's best defenseman, should have won the best defenseman in the entire Canadian Hockey League, and he's been unbelievable this year for every team that hasn't been that good. So
he's we got him.
Yeah, and he has just proven everybody wrong with the size debate for him only being like 5'9", 5'10". At every level he's been at so far, he's excelled. And then the other guy is Pavel Minchikov, who's also breaking records in the OHL. And 54 points in 37 games, which is, it ranks third in the league. Not even third among defensemen. Yeah. Like, it's third in the league. Yeah. He became the first OHL defenseman in history to win three straight Defenseman of the Month awards. That's a league that's produced Ekblad, Doughty... I know there's many others. I'm trying to think off the top of my head of great defensemen that have come from the Ontario Hockey League, but there's been several amazing defensemen. Norris winning, Subban came from that league. Like, Norris winning defensemen in the Ontario Hockey League. Nobody has ever won three straight Defenseman of the Month awards in that league, and Pavel Minchikov has done it. And he's just, I think a stretch of seven games where he had seven straight multi-point games. Like, he's been...
So he'll probably win the Hart, or whatever that equivalent is, for the most valuable player.
If you finish top three by the end of the season in points and you're a defenseman, unless the other guy is, 30 points ahead of you, then, you have to as a defenseman, right? Like, and I think he's only 5 points off the lead. Sarnia has a player who has like 59 points, so he's... It's not like Bedard has 96 points above him, right? Like, he's only 5 points off the lead, and I think he played last night and had 2 goals and an assist. Like, it's just, he's like a forward out there. It's unbelievable. Yeah. So, if you're concerned with the Ducks' defense and how it's looked this year, you've got two really, really good young players on the way to add to Drysdale. So it's and not to mention Tyson Hines at the World Juniors. He a really good steady defensive defenseman. He had a great tournament too. So you've got a lot of good young defensemen on the way. So. Add Bedard to that, and it's looking good.
Exactly. Embrace the suck, people.
The only other thing I had here is Troy Terry, second-time All-Star. Joins Getzlaf, Perry, Kariya, Solani, as the only two-time All-Stars with the Ducks. I saw the tweet. I don't know if there was an... I guess Gibby, right? Gibson would have been...
Gibby's done it multiple times. I know, because usually if he goes, he then immediately sucks for the rest of the season. Yeah. Horrifically bad. Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't translate to Terry, but Gabriel, I know he did one, I think in like 97 or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think he did.
We've had a bunch of
one and done's.
I'm trying to think of... Fowler did one last year, right? Fowler went last year?
No, I didn't think he did. No,
Terry went last year. I thought Fowler had one, or maybe not.
I don't think so.
Yeah. But there's been a few. I think Bobby Ryan must have had one. Maybe. Maybe not with Getzlaf and Perry, right?
So I don't think so.
I'll have to look it up and see.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that. That'd be great prep work before the show.
Yeah, right. I didn't think I'd be talking about who else were All-Stars. I kind of threw myself under the bus with that question. Yeah. but it's well-deserved, right? Like, 33 points in 40 games right now, leads all Ducks players in points. Only one close to him is Zegras, and now McTavish with his stretch of games. I think the only one you could have argued is Zegras, but when, again, Terry's been just as good and is leading the Ducks in points this year, he makes sense. And Zegras could still get in. He's eligible for the fan vote. Which is returned to the John Scott format where you could vote anybody in.
Interesting. Now, Well, all right, because I didn't really follow what's going on with the All-Star. Are they kind of doing it where the NHL did like they did last year with Zegras, or they just pluck him out and just put him in some sort of thing?
No,
they did that last year, but they're not doing it this year?
No, I don't know. It made sense. Like, he was just so flashy last year, and they were trying to do it because they couldn't justify, like, he wasn't going to make it over Terry last year, the points that were getting produced, but he was doing so many things, and he was so marketable that they just found a way to put him in there for that one event.
Yeah.
This year, he's up for the vote, and I imagine because of how popular he is, not even, like, not obviously just in Anaheim, but outside of Anaheim, like, he's one of the most popular players in the league right now. I can't imagine many other Pacific Division players that would get voted in over him.
Well, so I think he's going to go. Like, who's not on there? Because one of the three needs to be a goalie. I know that.
Yeah,
and so that makes me think, just given the goalies in the Pacific Division, no, they'll probably do Copley. I was thinking, is like they're another goalie that would probably get in. I think Copley's played so well, they'll probably put him in. So that leaves like two, I think just two more forwards or two more players. I figure Drysdale's got to get in there. Not Drysdale, Draisaitl.
Yeah.
He's going to go in, and then there's got to be somebody else.
So right now, it's Terry, Kadri, McDavid, Fiala, Carlson, Beniers, Logan Thompson's the only goalie right now, and Elias Pettersson. Each division will have one goaltender and two skaters voted in by the fans.
So two skaters.
So whoever's the highest-ranked goaltender will get voted in, and then the two highest-ranked skaters will get in. So of all those teams,
so Draisaitl is going to get in. He's I imagine he's going
to.
I
think it's Draisaitl and Zegras who probably get in. I'm trying to think of like more popular players, at least players that might have popularity outside of their market. Like, you know, Draisaitl definitely in Seattle. I don't think anybody would really get voted in. San Jose, no. L.A., I don't think anybody's really voting Kopitar.
Mark Stone, maybe.
But you think he's getting, you know, outside of Vegas and Ottawa? Do you think Vancouver, Vat Miller? I just think in terms of popular, because it's a fan vote, so it's everybody, right? It's not just your fan base. Like,
I would say
the most popular player outside of Drysdale probably is Zegras. I wouldn't even be surprised to see Zegras get the most votes just because of how popular he is right now. So I would imagine Zegras gets voted in, or the NHL rigs it so he can be in there or something.
Yeah, right? There you go, right?
Drysdale probably gets in, and then the other goalie, I honestly don't know.
I would either say Gibby gives him the chance if they want to try. No, I don't even want to.
I just don't even think anybody would vote
Copley.
Him.
I would just say Copley.
I think Copley could get voted in. I think
because there's no one.
Markstrom might get voted
in. He hasn't been that good.
Yeah, but it's just down to the fan vote, right? Like, they could vote.
Yes,
but other than that, like,
Demko's injured. He's not showing up. No one in Vancouver would be showing up.
Yeah. San Jose, no. Seattle, no.
San Jose, there's no way they're getting a goalie for that one.
Yeah, so I can see Copley. I can see people voting Copley. Feeling good about how he's played this year and helping LA, I can see him going. He deserves to go out of any other goaltenders here, if we're talking about guys who deserve to go.
And he's been hot real recently, too. It just depends if whether or not people know him.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it's a popularity contest, a name like Phoenix, they might actually vote for him.
So. Yeah, no, exactly. No, but I think Zegras ends up going.
It's what I used to do, and whenever you do it at high school, like you had to like vote for a student council or something like that, and I really wouldn't care. I just like look at a name, and go, that's
like
cool
that name.
I'll pick that person. I think that's how it's gonna go for the goalies. Like, no one knows.
Stuart Skinner from Edmonton's gonna go. I mean, that's all I got for major topics. We try to keep it short for this one back just because we had so much to cover, or at least so many games to cover. Those were kind of the headlines of coming up. We have a game that's about to start here in the next 10-15 minutes against the Boston Bruins. So we're moving to our Ducks game predictions presented by 714 Tickets, and first prediction is tonight's game. Everybody's going to be hearing this after the game, but who do you have tonight?
So let's get it right. I got Boston. I don't know. Man, this could go so many different ways. I feel Boston's the top team in the NHL. The Ducks are just barely beat San Jose, but Boston also beat San Jose pretty handily. I just think Boston's too good, even though they're playing back-to-backs in less than 24 hours and traveling from San Jose down to Anaheim. I still think sometimes you're just kind of still in that hockey mode. And when you're as good as that team is, And especially as much as they score, I was looking at their stats earlier, like everything's in the top three or four in the league, and the Ducks are like everywhere in like the bottom three and four in the league between goal scores, goals against, power play, penalty kill. I mean, just all of that stuff. So hopefully maybe they take the Ducks lightly, but I doubt it. They're just too good and too experienced to do that. So I don't think the Ducks get to that magic number three win tonight.
Yeah. The only regulation loss, or the last regulation loss Boston has, is November 23rd against the Panthers. Other than that, they lost against Vegas. They lost December 9th, 4-3 against Arizona. But they've
a month ago.
One regulation loss in the last 2 months. Over the last 12 games, they're 10-0-2. And like you mentioned, they are the second highest scoring team in the league, the best defensive team in the league, the fourth best power play, and the best penalty kill. And the Ducks are on the opposite end of that spectrum. I don't see this one going well. If they win, it's going to have to seemingly be an overtime or a shootout, and they're going to have probably a 45-50 or a UC Soros type night for 64 saves or something like that. So that's I'm going to say the most obvious answer here is going to be a Boston win. Yeah. Hopefully it's just not ugly. It's not like a 6-0, 6-1 or something like that. If they keep it close and have a good game.
My prediction is they'll keep it kind of close, and then Boston does what they do, is they just grind it out, and then we'll actually just win it late. That's 4-2 my prediction.
Kind of game. Yeah. Okay. Wednesday, so all three games are at home. Wednesday, January 11th, 7 p.m. start, Anaheim against Connor McDavid and the Oilers. What do you got for that one?
Well, with no Dostal, I would probably say Edmonton is also likely going to win this one. I mean, Edmonton's such an oddity.
They score a lot of goals, but they
just depends if they score a ton of goals. You know, if they score enough, there's enough. You know, there's enough time in between the Boston game and when Anaheim plays Edmonton, because they don't play until Wednesday. There's 2 days in between there. A lot of times they can kind of get things together. So I still have to kind of put Edmonton on this one. But I also would have put Edmonton the last one, and Dostal proved me wrong on that. So,
I'll give the Ducks, because I think they'll lose the other two games because just how good New Jersey and Boston are. I'm going to give them the edge here. I think they'll get a win. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, like a 4-3, 5-4 type game, but I think it'll be an overtime. And I'll give them the win because I just don't want to say they're going to lose every game the way they've been playing. So I think Edmonton's so bad defensively, and the Ducks have shown in some games that they can score a lot of goals, and usually when they score a lot of goals, they also allow a lot of goals too. So I think that one's going to be a high-scoring affair. But I'll say the Ducks edge them out in that one. And then the last game of the week, they get the weekend off. It's Friday, January 13th, another 7 p.m. start against the New Jersey Devils. The big surprise this year, second in the Metro, 25 wins out of 40 games. What do you got for that one?
Well, a Friday of the 13th game, already don't like it.
Yeah, already not a good one.
Number two, the real reason that they will lose this game, it's not that New Jersey is great and the Ducks are struggling as a team. It's that me, Pat, and Dave will all be at that game.
Oh, so that's
that was our loss. That was our Christmas gift. So we are the Hex. I'm sure I will spend more money than I absolutely should be spending just to drink enough to dull the pain of another horrible Ducks game. I just assume because any game I go to is going to be horrible. So I'm the kiss of death. They will lose that game.
Yeah, I think even though New Jersey has been bad as of late, they've lost 10 of their last 14. I just think the role that Jack Hughes is on, he's going to roll into this game and just obliterate the Ducks. He's got, 8 goals and 2 assists in his last 5 games. He's got 26 goals on the year. The team plays well enough, and I think for this game they don't play a back-to-back. It's the first of a back-to-back, so they play the Kings on Saturday. So they won't be tired for that game. They'll be well-rested. They have 3 days off from their last game against Carolina, so they'll be a well-rested team. I think it's
probably get over here earlier, hang out for a little bit.
Yeah. So I think that one's going to be a loss, and it'll be fun for Zegras and Jack Hughes and all their buddies, so that will be a fun game for them. Hopefully they go back and forth and dueling hat tricks or something like that to make the game interesting.
Sure.
But, as it is every week with these predictions, they're usually not that exciting to talk about because it's usually, the Ducks will probably lose. I think they ultimately lose that one against New Jersey before heading on a 5-game road trip. for the next couple
weeks. Well, that adds a 10-game homestand. That's just insanity. That's weird.
Yeah, I haven't 10 home, had many, five on the road. I haven't had many of those long homestands, I think, for a while. So. Yeah. All right. Well, that does it. You got anything else you want to hit on?
No, I'm glad to be here in a new year. I like Eddie with the beanie look. That's real cool.
Yeah. I just, you got to rock the Christmas stuff, right? So
yeah, right. Yeah, that's what this is.
Yeah. I noticed that when I first came on the reverse retro. I still have to get
finally. One of those, Thank you, Dave.
You got a name on the back yet or no?
Oh, hell no.
No? Rocking it.
No. I mean, I can, but.
I like rocking them blank.
I support the team. Yeah. I don't really need.
I think all my jerseys are blank except for the two I've gotten as gifts. One's a Korea and one's a Perry, and the rest of them are blank.
Oh yeah, I won one, which is a Teemu Selanne one, which a signed Teemu Selanne one. So I actually won that one in a raffle. So I don't wear that, but that's the only one I have that's actually got like a name and number on it.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think. Well, I don't, the Korea one again was a gift, but it wasn't signed. But yeah, if it's signed, you got to have the number on the back. Like the Perry one I have is signed, and I don't wear it anymore. But you got to have the name and number on the back for that one. That's gonna do it for this show. We should hopefully be back this weekend, depending on scheduling. I know Steven wants to hop back on too, and Pat and I were gonna do a show, but then my internet cut out, so Pat was gonna return to the show. So this one's on me this time.
Not on Pat. Crazy Canadian internet.
We were ready to go. He was confirmed. He was good to go and record on that day.
He was prepared.
And then somebody decided to unplug my internet from one port into another at the actual outside port. I don't know what happened, and it shut down for the day. So that was fun.
That was your fiance.
Yeah. Not podcasting today. So, but yeah, we should be back this weekend. The Ducks are off this weekend, so whether it's Saturday, Sunday, we'll see. I'm not sure who's going to be on that show, but we'll figure it out. Whoever's available this weekend, and we'll try and put one together for you guys. I think there's four games next week, so ideally we'll get one out for the weekend. But thanks for listening, guys. We'll try and be back live soon. This one just wanted to make sure we could actually get it out because it's been a month, so didn't want to have any problems. Yep.
And then try and find me and Pat over at the game on the Friday.
Yeah, so tweet it out. You or Pat have access to the Twitter, or you should. If not, tweet it out.
We'll tweet it out, and then, I don't know, maybe we'll meet in between periods somewhere where I can spend an enormous amount of money on a small amount of alcohol.
In front of the Paul McCartney picture that we took that picture in front of?
Yeah, that was on the first floor where he was like looking at your beer.
That's where we have to. That's where you guys have to meet. So. All right. So thanks for listening, guys. If you want to help us keep going throughout the season, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. Search Forever Mighty. Leave us a rating and a review. We'll read it on the show. I know we say this every time we do a show that we'll read on the show. I haven't checked it in like a month. So we'll go through and check them, and then we'll read them on the show if there's any new ones. We do appreciate them despite the promises of reading them and not reading them. We're also on Spotify. You can leave us a rating on there now as well. So make sure to do that if you haven't already. All video versions of the show exist on YouTube, so you can go to youtube.com/ForeverMightyPodcast. Make sure to subscribe and put on the little notification bell so you know when we release, because our release schedule is very sporadic. So if you want to know exactly when the show comes out, put the little notification on and you'll get a nice little ding on your phone when we release an episode. Check out the website at forevermighty.com to find everything in one place. So where to watch, listen to the show, how to support the show, where to find us on social media. Nice little bios of everybody, too, on there if you want to learn a little bit about
it. Oh, yeah. I did that a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Right. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, we might need to update those bios a little bit. You find us on Twitter at ForeverMightyFM. Mine's at Eddie Van Jones. And Jason's is at Jason_Lamb. And yeah, thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks everybody who joins the streams when we do them. And we'll see you guys later. Enjoy the game tonight.
Bye, guys.
To those who visit Mickey D's for their favorite breakfast item and then go somewhere else for coffee, give this Mickey D's brew a second chance. The glow up was real.
Try any size iced coffee brewed with 100% Arabica beans for just 99 cents until 11 a.m. And pair it with a savory sausage McMuffin with egg for $2.79. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.